This is Down Where It's Wetter, written by Cartoon Mayor and Ghostal Service, and read by Tipsy Kitty. Izzy had said that he caught something weird, but Ed wasn't expecting this. The tank is dark. It used to be the Orca tank, back before they bought Hornigold out. And since then, it's housed dozens of short-term exhibits or expensive seafood or rehabbed animals waiting for the Naranja to come into port. Today, it's housing Izzy's mystery catch. "Holy shit," he says when Izzy turns the lights on. "What the fuck is?" It's floating in the center of the tank, the creature, and Ed can't stop fucking staring. He thinks for a moment it could be someone playing a really strange trick on him, dressing up in a costume. But the creature stays submerged, wide hazel-green eyes staring, unblinking, through the gentle waves, for far too long to be a human. Ed corrects himself. He doesn't have any idea if it has a gender or sex. Looks human enough from hair to hips, blonde curls floating in a halo around his head, powerful-looking chest and shoulders, a narrow, tapered waist. But then... Below is a swirling, writhing mass of tentacles, at least 24 or so. Ed can't count them with how much they're moving, running over each other and along the glass of the tank. It looks frightened, its eyes wide, mouth tight, as it traces the seams in the glass and finds no exit.
"Are we sure this thing isn't like," Ed says, "a person?"
The creature has caught Ed's gaze, and it's looking at him very much like a person would, if they were trapped and scared. It presses its webbed hands up to the glass and several of its tentacles, too, framing its torso and head in a writhing black mass. It hasn't broken eye contact with Ed.
"Hoi!"
Izzy bangs on the glass. Ed flinches back as the creature flips around backward and huddles in a corner of the tank, covering itself in its tentacles until only its eyes are visible.
"Are you a person?" Izzy asks through the glass.
He turns to Ed when the creature doesn't get out of its tentacle cocoon and scoffs.
"It's just a fish. A weird fucking fish. And it's going to make us very, very rich."
Izzy takes the part of the job organizing the potential buyers, legitimate and otherwise. And Ed is in charge of taking care of the creature. He names it Tentacles, pronounced like Heracles, because he doesn't want to keep thinking of it as the creature. The first day he spends figuring out what Tentacles eats. It looks distressed when he tries fish, and wrinkles its nose at the krill. It seems unenthused about the algae, but it does eat some of that. Seaweed and seagrass also give mixed results. Ed tries dropping a watermelon into the tank, for enrichment at least, if not food. Tentacles swims around and around it, reaching out to poke and spin it with its tentacles, until it wraps it up in one and squeezes until it bursts into pink and green chunks. Tentacles startles and huddles into the corner of the tank, shaking a little. Then it reaches out a cautious tentacle and takes a bit of the fruit and brings it to its mouth. Before it takes a bite, it looks up at Ed. Ed nods at it as if to say,
"Yeah, but go ahead and try it."
Tentacles takes a little nibble. Its eyes go wide and it reaches out with all of its tentacles to snatch the rest of the chunks of watermelon floating around in the water. It brings the pieces to its mouth one at a time, chewing and swallowing in such a way that Ed might call dainty, if Tentacles were a person and not a fish. Because it is a fish and not a person. As Ed climbs down the tank, eyes on the ground, something like velvet brushes across his knuckles. He wrenches his hand back and almost falls off the ladder. Tentacles is looking very intently at him, his tentacles still hovering in the air where it had touched him. Ed stares back for a moment before he shakes his head and hurries downward and out of the room. Ed spends more time than he needs to behind the one-way glass observing Tentacles. Tonight, the lights inside the tank are dim, but still brighter than the lab, so he's got a clear view of things. Ed keeps coming back to the tentacles,
keep staring at them. Can't stop thinking about them, actually. Imagining again and again that brief brush of smooth, warm flesh against his fingertips. Velvety and slick like octopus limbs, but far larger and stronger. They're writhing around Tentacles' hips now in a cloud, like it's fidgeting. It does this most nights, floats restlessly around the tank, staying to the back corners, the tips of its tentacles exploring the limits of his space. Ed watches it, book forgotten, his focus completely on the creature through the glass. Sometimes it seems like it sees him, like it's watching him back, but it can't be, can it? There's no way it can see him sitting in the dark behind a one-way mirror. No way he knows Ed's there, that Ed's watching. Ed sees him gently twine his tentacles together, then unwind them, letting them crawl up his torso and around his arms and into his hair. Tentacles closes his eyes and drapes the tentacle around his throat, pulls it back and forth. He caresses his own chest, pulses his suckers in and out. The marks don't stay. But they do flash bright and green against his pale skin for a moment before they fade. Tentacles is twined all around himself, and his eyes are closed, and Ed is hit very suddenly with the realization that he shouldn't be watching this. This is private. This is sexual. It's not just his brain that's telling him that either. He feels hot, flushed. He trips upright toward the door. But his hand pauses over the handle. He looks back. Tentacles has drifted closer, is only a dozen feet away, though there's a few thousand gallons of water between them. His eyes flicker, oddly bright, across what must be the surface of the mirror. Ed wonders how it looks to his eyes, whether he sees the same spectrum of visible light as a human, or whether he can see far beyond. Ed sits back down in his chair. The tentacles writhe, pressing together, separating, rubbing against themselves and all over Tentacles' body, the midnight blue of their tips spreading, overtaking the dark turquoise of the upper sections. His chest rises and falls, though he's breathing only water, and his eyes meet Ed's. Ed gasps. He's suddenly so fucking hard in his jeans that he can't help pressing a palm to his dick and letting the slightest sound escape his lips, a tiny whimper of shock. The creature's gaze drifts away, and Ed can breathe again. He gasps, rubs his hands along his thighs, and takes a deep, shuddering breath. What the fuck? In the tank, the creature cocks its head, considering him. Ed gets up and stumbles out of the observation room. Steed knows it was stupid. He knows exactly what Mary and his father and everyone else in the Brian would say if they knew where he is right now. They'd say, "Oh, Steed, always knew he'd get too close to the humans one day. Always knew he was a strange one, a bother, a problem." He can't imagine they're looking too closely for him. They're probably glad he's gone. He stares out across the tank, watching the human again, the one with the long hair who comes and watches him sometimes. He doesn't watch maliciously, not like the one who caught Steed, or like he's something to fear, like some of the others. No, this one stares at Steed like he understands what it means to be trapped. It had taken him a while to realize that they don't know he can see them. Something about the glass and the light. Because there's a strange quality to the light that comes through. But Steed can tell who's there, can hear the faint rumbles of their spoken language. Speaking with mouths, how fascinating. He's never seen it from this close, never actually heard the sound so clearly. He's never admitted it to anyone, because who would he tell? But he's always wondered if his mouth could make the same sounds the humans' mouths do. He doesn't need to, of course. Once he's been near a human long enough, he can read them nearly as well as one of his own kind. Maybe better in some cases, because Sea Lords know he's never been stellar at reading any of the other Scylla from the Brine. The long-haired human is watching him again. He's watching him, and his look is hungry, fascinated, focused. Steed reaches out, stretching his mind and his front four tentacles, and presses them to the humans in the glass, respectively. The glass is cool, hard, smooth against his suckers. He traces the outline of the man's hand where it rests against the glass, filling the lines across his palm. They're similar to Steed's own, but less pale, warm like beach sand and unwebbed, the splits between the fingers shockingly, obscenely long. Steed can't stop staring at them. The human's mind, it's churning. It feels like a rough sea on a spring day, like ice above and the billowing of volcanic springs below, like lightning crackling over the waves. Steed focuses, sifts down through the layers of thoughts, filtering through until he finds the essential core of the man deep within. Ed. His name is Ed. Ed's got a fascinating light to him, a flickering intensity that captivated Steed from the first, and is even more intriguing once Steed's looking deeper. Ed had delegated the feeding of Steed since the time Steed had touched him, which was, by the way, absolutely humiliating, to be fed like a domesticated crab, and he hadn't been this close since then. The amative bond had clearly shaken him. It had shaken Steed, too, how easy it had been. Was it wrong of him to be so aroused by a human? Especially one who, well, who Steed had never really communicated with. He sends a careful, curious greeting and lets it pulse between them on the whisper-thin connection they share. Ed's eyes go wide. Hello? Hello, Ed. Ed snatches his hand off the glass and takes a few steps backward. Steed feels the link between them ebb as Ed starts to fight Steed's presence in his mind. Steed withdraws for a moment, reaches out again, soothes the irritation of his intrusion. Please don't go. Immediately, Ed drops his defenses, and Steed feels a flash of confusion, fascination, a thin veneer of calm over a churning current of movement. He's fighting himself, trying to keep from washing out on that rising wave of panic while an undercurrent of, interesting, arousal bubbles up. And he grabs onto Steed's gentle mental prod to hold himself steady. Steed sees him take a long, deep breath, his chest rising and falling under his clothing. His eyes flash from Steed's own down to his tentacles, across his chest, to his lips and back to meet his gaze. Okay, I won't. I'll stay. Steed spins around in a circle, his tentacles whirling tightly around him and flaring out again. He sends a thrum of happiness into Ed's mind, in case his body language wasn't enough. Holy shit, Ed says. You're a person. I'm a Scylla. I just meant, you're not a fish. Steed sends him a pulse of offended irritation. Obviously. Ed laughs. Can I do that to you? Send you, feelings?
Yes.
How?
I don't know. You just do it.
Gee, thanks.
You're welcome.
Ed wrinkles his nose and Steed feels a flash of indignance along their connection. He flattens his tentacles, wriggles just the tips of them, worried he said something wrong. But Ed just says, do you have a name?
Steed.
Steed. Cool. I'm Ed. Edward.
Yes, I know.
Another flash of annoyance, but this one is tinged with something Steed might call fondness if he were a braver Scylla. Ed turns and starts to walk away. Steed sends him a rush of panic that makes him stumble.
Sorry, Ed says, looking over his shoulder. I'm just getting a chair. I'll be right back.
He takes a breath, squints. Steed feels a tremulous pulse of apology along their connection.
Did that work?
Steed spins around in a circle of delight. Ed grins and shuffles into the room behind the mirror and returns with a chair. He settles it so close to the tank that his knees are almost touching the glass.
So, tell me about yourself?
A week later, a week of conversation and wonder and laughter, Steed laughs with his tentacles, bringing the tips around his face in a circle. Looking like a strange sunflower with wiggling petals, Ed needs to get closer. He strips out of his pants and shirt, leaving his boxer briefs on.
What are you doing?
Ed doesn't answer as he climbs up the side of the tank. He slides his legs into the water, heart pounding. He's not supposed to do this. Yeah, he owns the place, but there are still rules. There's still OSHA and safety regs and all that shit. But there's also Steed. Because after a week of hearing Steed's voice in his head, of meeting his eyes through the glass, of learning there's a whole fucking civilization under the sea, and it's not even worth seeing if it's full of people who can't appreciate Steed's bizarre, delightful charm, Ed needs... He needs this. He needs to know this is real. He needs to figure out if he's lost his fucking mind, or if he's actually made a new fucking mer friend. Is everything all right, Ed? Steed's right there. He's floating just below the surface, barely lit by the overhead lights through the mesh of the tank cover, a silhouette of writhing black just beneath the waves. I'm just, getting my bearings.
You can swim, can't you?
Of course I can fucking swim, Steed. Ed takes a deep breath and pushes off the edge all at once, slips into body-warm salt water, kicking gently to stay afloat.
Hi,
says Steed, and suddenly he's closer, right beside Ed, his head rising from the water.
You're here.
Yeah, breathes Ed. Steed's hair is slicked back from his forehead, his face dripping, his mouth curving in a smile. He's got fucking dimples. Ed's never seen him without gallons of water and 3 inches of glass in between them. Has never seen him in this much light, and he's... Fuck. He's cute as hell, even with the tentacles. Something brushes against his bare calf. Fuck. The tentacles aren't a turn-off. That's... That's something new he's learned about himself. Whoever said Ed's job wasn't furthering science should see him now. Well, they shouldn't. Nobody should see this. Because Steed's tentacle is wrapped around Ed's ankle, slowing his kicking and holding him up. Another is sneaking around his other calf, evening him out. He stills and forces his body to relax.
You taste wonderful, Ed.
Ed gives a hysterical little giggle. He tries to push his flare of arousal away, because he knows Steed can read that shit and he doesn't know how to stop it yet. Steed cocks his head.
Did you like it before?
Did I like what? Something in the room shifts, something subtle, and Ed is all of a sudden a lot more than a little aroused. He's aching, not just his dick, but his whole fucking body, his cheeks flushing, his chest tightening. He gasps, head falling back.
This.
Ed remembers this feeling from days ago, this bizarre sudden feeling of arousal, but this time it's flowing both ways rather than just pressing on his mind. He draws in a breath, sharp in his chest, a shiver running through his limbs. Steed looks away, and the acuteness of the feeling ebbs.
Man, I knew you could send me thoughts,
Ed says. Voice hoarse.
But that's something else. That's what you did before?
I was trying something out, says Steed. I wanted to see if I could reach you. I apologize if I made you uncomfortable.
You, not uncomfortable, I'd say.
Ed shakes his head.
It's weird, but I'm glad it wasn't just me.
It's one way we connect. The amit of bond. Steed comes closer. He's just inches away, his writhing limbs wrapping around Ed one by one, sliding over his bare skin, curling over his waist and the tender backs of his knees and the knobs of his spine.
The rest of your kind aren't so decorated.
A gentle, slender tendril ghosts over the hawk tattooed beneath his clavicle.
Nah,
Ed manages. His heart is racing, his skin overloaded with what feels like 1,000 tiny suckers tugging gently at him.
What are you doing?
He gasps, mouth dropping open, and Steed runs a fine-tipped tentacle over his lower lip. Ed shudders.
I've always been fascinated by your language, Steed says. You use your mouths for so many things.
Ed lets his mouth fall open, lets himself float as his eyes slide closed. The tiny suckers at the tip aren't tugging, just exploring, sliding over the plushness of his bottom lip, slipping further in. And Dead can't help himself. His tongue darts out to soothe the prickling feeling and... Oh! Steed shudders, the tentacles wrapping around Dead, tensing and pulling him closer.
Ed!
Ed tries to clamp down on their bond, but it's too late, because Steed's eyes go wide and he says, "Yes, you may." He's already in the fucking tank. He's already talking to the fucking merperson. Is being cradled in the merperson's tentacles. He might as well. Steed draws him even closer, until they're chest to chest. He puts his arms around Ed's neck. Their mouths are so close, and Steed's breath smells like fucking watermelon. And if he could just blink, then Ed would be ready to kiss him for real. He doesn't blink. Ed kisses him anyway.
Oh, Ed.
Ed can't respond because he doesn't know how to actually speak psychically yet, and his mouth is occupied. At first, it feels like any old kiss, albeit one that Ed can tell from the pulses sparking back and forth along their connection means a lot to both of them. But then he opens his mouth and dips his tongue into Steed's, and Steed gasps, and it's different. Steed's tongue is much more dexterous than a human's, almost like a tentacle itself. Except without suckers, thank goodness. Probably. Ed will think about this later. It's wrapping around Ed's as their lips press and move together, and Ed is dizzy with it. He does his best to keep up, and soon they find a rhythm. Steed's tentacles start to slip back and forth along Ed's body, winding up around his limbs and back down again. He feels the gentle tug of the sucker's teeth on his skin as they drag across it, like tiny bristles. Deliciously just on the other side of ticklish. Steed has so many, many tentacles, and Ed feels more and more engulfed as they kiss. It's like he's in a private pod with Steed, like they're almost one person. Steed loosens his hold a bit, and Ed sinks half a foot, up to his chin in warm, salty water. He gasps and grabs Steed's shoulders to steady himself, belly swooping with the drop. Steed grins, face lighting up. His teeth are pearly and sharp, glistening. They're sleek and dangerous. Ed likes the look of them. Suckers fasten and release along Ed's thighs, warming their way up his skin, insinuating themselves under his boxer briefs. Ed shivers with the sensation, his head dropping back to float, cradled in Steed's gentle hold. "I like this," says Steed. "Your legs, how they come together here." "Yeah," manages Ed, pulling away for a moment to pant. "Like your tentacles." Steed brushes the crease between Ed's ass and thigh, while another, thicker tentacle winds around his waist. Ed gasps as another slips down his waistband, pushes at his briefs and drags them down as his hands find the sides of Ed's neck and cup his jaw. Ed's fingers curl against Steed's shoulders helplessly, trying to find purchase on slick skin, trying to anchor himself. "Do it again," he says silently, and Steed shudders against him, pushing that fucking overwhelming feeling through Ed's nerves, leaving him quivering and hard, cock sliding out of the briefs as they're tossed aside. "Fuck, Steed," he gasps. Nothing between them and the hot, slick feel of Steed's appendages against his skin. They're all over him, around his waist, cupping the back of his neck, curling around his ankles and sliding between his cheeks to, fuck, ghost over his hole. He's completely surrounded, completely held, and while Steed's not restraining him, Ed knows he could, knows he's powerless to resist, but that Steed's using his strength to hold him out of the water. To stroke along his inner thigh and suck her gently at his nipple. He tips his head forward with a groan, turning his face to mouth along Steed's jaw. He tastes salty, his skin still slick with the water that's lapping at their collarbones, and musky and alien. Nothing Ed can even begin to describe, but he can't stop tasting it to try and figure it out. He laps at the hinge of Steed's jaw, nibbles behind his ear. And when Steed whimpers and tightens his grasp on Ed's, everything. He bites harder, a sharp press of teeth. Ed, his mental voice is shaky, high-pitched, the tentacles not wrapped around Ed, flailing and splashing. Do that again. Ed smiles against his skin, remembering with the shock of arousal the marks Deed Suckers left on his chest when Ed saw him touching himself in the tank. You like that? He murmurs against Deed's pulse. You like when I make you feel me? I do. Sea Lords preserve me. Oh, Ed, that's... Steed's head falls back, and he pulls Ed even closer. Their bodies press tightly together, and Ed nips at his throat, grinding his cock into Steed, into the place where his tentacles meet the blushing skin of his hip. Steed's touching him everywhere, his sucker slipping over Ed's thighs, his neck, the pads of his feet, and the soft, delicate undersides of his wrists. One tentacle brushes Ed's wet hair from his face. Another curls around the small of his back and sucks at the skin at the base of his spine. And the one he's most aware of is hot and impossibly slick, rubbing over his hole, slip-sliding across his taint and pressing against his rim. He opens up as much as he can, relaxing his mind and his ass, and lets Steed into both. He's never felt anything like this slick slide of two tentacles inside his rim, the tips pencil thin, flexing, writhing, exploring him. The suckers stick and release, a gentle nibble of bristly teeth that's just this side of maddening. His arms curl tighter around Steed's body, his hips trying to buck but held steady by uncountable limbs. The only part of him he can move easily is his head, and he buries it in the crook of Steed's neck, laps along his salty hot skin, nips at the tendon just over his pulse. Steed gasps, the tentacles in Ed's ass expanding, dilating, pressing him open from the inside out, and it's so much, so intense. He bites down hard. Steed's breath stutters in his chest, and his free tentacles thrash against the water, sending roiling waves to slap at the glass of the tank. Ed's about to apologize when a fresh wave of arousal hits him from Steed, along with a wordless, overwhelming feeling of yes, and more, and Ed, that he can't resist. He nips at the spot again, reveling in Steed's twitches, then lifts his head to tug Steed's earlobe into his mouth. But before his jaw can close, a tentacle slips in between his lips, hot and slick and tasting of seaweed and brine. He lets it in. Lets it slide over his soft palate, running his tongue over the suckers and opening his throat. It's like the world's weirdest, sexiest blowjob, the tentacles thrusting into his mouth, the suckers catching and releasing, the two in his ass mirroring the one in his mouth until all he can feel is a sensation of being filled, being stuffed full of Steed. And then Steed curls another tentacle, a thick, wide one, around his cock and tugs, and Ed swallows around his tentacle, sucking hard. Steed gasps, shudders, his tentacles pulling Ed close, going rigid, the one in Ed's mouth jerking as Ed sucks, the one around his body squeezing nearly hard enough to bruise, the one around his cock tightening as it slides over the head. Ed cries out as the two in his ass swell, suddenly huge and hard, rubbing against each other, pressing deeper and filling him up. Steed gasps, loud enough that it's audible, and that's what sends Ed over the edge, the sound of Steed's voice, audible in the humid, salty air of the tank. He comes like the fucking Titanic, breaking apart, back bowing against Steed's grasp as sparks scatter through his hips and his balls tighten. Steed's tentacles are still pressing his prostate, suckers massaging it like nothing he's ever felt before, and the orgasm doesn't stop. It keeps pulsing through him until suddenly the water's hot and dark and Steed. Ed's underwater, his nose filling, and he flails his arms and legs. He surfaces, nerves still sparking with the last of his orgasm, and gasps, coughing. Oh, fuck! Steed's arms come up around his waist, tentacles wrapping him tight and pulling him up until his shoulders clear the water. Ed coughs again. Did you just drop me? He asks finally, once his throat's clear of briny water. Says Steed. I'm so sorry, I was overwhelmed, And Ed can feel the mortification radiating off him. Doesn't even need their psychic shit to tell Steed's really fucking embarrassed.
You came so hard you tried to drown me, says Ed, and he can't help the fond smile stealing across his face.
Hot. He leans in and kisses Steed again, his lips tingling and slick. The salty taste of the water still lingers on him, a taste familiar from the salt air of the Pacific, and from a lifetime of falling into the ocean and letting it carry him. He pulls back and rests his forehead against Steed's. The water below his chin is cooling, but it's still cloudy and dark, and Ed's brow furrows.
Hey, Steed, he says.
He pauses, not sure how to put it.
When you come, what happens?
Steed follows his gaze down, and Ed feels his mind pull back just a little, a door creaking closed ever so slightly between them. It feels good.
But do you, humans, when they come, there's a release, a liquid?
Steed nods. I tasted it, he says. When you came, it tasted a bit like the sea.
Right, the water looks like maybe, and I'm not complaining, I'm just curious. Do you?
Steed pulls back, though he's still supporting Ed in the water. That's private, Ed.
Oh, says Ed. That's fine. Cool.
I liked that, says Steed. Don't think just because some things are private doesn't mean I didn't like that.
Cool,
Ed says again, but it's more sincere now. He can feel Steed's contentment, his worry, through their connection, and he leans in, kisses him again, lets it linger.
I gotta go, he says finally, pulling away. See you soon.
I'm not going anywhere, Ed, says Steed.
Does it have a bruise?
Izzy squinting through the glass, staring at Steed, and Ed's already got his hackles up before he even spoke.
What?
Ed asks. On its neck, says Izzy. You're supposed to be in charge of taking care of the fucking thing, Edward. Why does it have a fucking bruise? Ed leans forward, looks through the glass at Steed, feels his presence as a warm, rushing feeling in his brain, a familiar presence. They've only known each other a few weeks, but Ed's in fucking deep.
And yeah, he's got a bruise. He's got a fucking hickey.
Ed can't help the wash of pride and heat that skitters across his nerves, leaving his hands shaking and his face flushing. Steed's head turns and his eyes catch Ed's, then widen. Too late, Ed tries to tamp down the way he's broadcasting his emotions. Steed's face transforms, turns delighted, as he reaches up to prod at the bruise just below his jaw, where Ed fucking bit him the night before, where he dug in his teeth and licked Steed's skin as Steed fucked him with two tentacles up his ass.
Jesus, Ed's gotta get it together.
Izzy's looking at him, eyes narrowing.
Boss? Yeah, dunno. Maybe he bumped into something. Or has a rash. Could be anything.
Sure, says Izzy, but he's still watching Ed, not Steed. Ed tears his gaze away from Steed.
What is? Problem?
Izzy scoffs and turns on his heel, disappearing out of the room. I found a buyer, Izzy says. Private collector. Ed freezes over the paperwork he's been working on and tugs the collar of his shirt upright again, hoping the cluster of circles left behind by Steed's suckers isn't too obvious. I know you're fond of the fish, Izzy says, but it doesn't belong with us. We don't have the room or the facilities, and the money. We can retire, Ed. Ed makes a decision.
He's not a fish, Iz.
Izzy sneers. It's not a pet either. I knew you would be difficult about this, so I'm not giving you a choice. They'll be here in 2 hours. Izzy stomps out of the office and slams the door. 2 fucking hours. It's not enough time. It's not enough time to get Steed out. It's not enough time to say goodbye.
But Ed is going to have to do both of those things. He's already been thinking about it. He can't hold on to Steed forever. He can't keep him in a fucking cage, even if he doesn't want to let him go. He gets on the horn with Jim and explains to them what's going on. When they don't believe him, he makes them put Oluwande on the phone. Olu is silent.
Maybe call us on video?
Ed obliges, and takes the phone to Steed, and Steed waves at them and does a few other things, spreading his tentacles and speeding across the tank at Ed's bidding. That convinces Jim and Oluwande of the whole story.
How fast can you get here?
Ed says.
Not fast enough. You'll have to come to us.
Ed bites his lip and looks at Steed.
Want to go on an adventure?
Steed gives a nervous little squiggle to one side. Still, he says, I'll go anywhere with you. It takes a while to get Steed into the travel tank in the back of Ed's pickup truck. He tries to clamp down on his panic, but it's so small, and he's already felt so claustrophobic these last weeks in the regular tank. It seems like the only way, though, and more than the claustrophobia, there's the whole leaving Ed situation.
Would these people be so bad? Could you come visit me?
Ed wipes sweat off his brow and shimmies out of his wetsuit.
I'm not gonna lie to you, Steed. Best case scenario, you're a novelty for some rich fucker's menagerie. Worst case, you're sushi.
Yuck. Steed sees Ed almost crack a smile at the disgust in Steed's mind voice.
Almost. They're not gonna catch us, man. By the time they get here, you'll be long gone.
Steed mutes the connection between them, suddenly sick to his stomachs at the thought of the limit on his time with Ed. Ed grabs for it, reaches out a mental tether and yanks.
Hey, he says, you're gonna make it. You'll be home with your family in hours, I promise.
Steed stares at him, then nods. He's perched on the edge of the travel tank, barely more than a foot larger than Steed in every direction, arms folded over the edge, tiny dark blue tentacle tips peeking over as well, gripping and releasing the edge of the plastic.
I trust you, Ed.
They pass a truck full of suspicious-seeming people towing a trailer as they're leaving the facility. And Steed is subjected to a horrible ordeal Ed calls a car chase. It's dark in the tank in the back of the truck, and Steed keeps getting flung about in the water from side to side as the truck screeches and speeds around him. He feels Ed's mind searching through routes at lightning speed, choosing and discarding options, taking in 1,000 variables at once. If they weren't so attuned, he might think Ed was panicking. That he didn't know where he was going or why, but he's not. He's absolutely brilliant. Still, Ed can feel the rising wave of panic Ed's fighting to keep down. He wishes he could see what Ed was seeing, wishes he understood what was happening beyond the basics of being chased. He's helpless, at the mercy of fate and the land gods, and he hates being helpless. He trusts Ed with his life, knows him down to his core. But he wishes he could do something besides crash into the sides of the tank, his tentacles cramped and weaving themselves together.
Hold on, Steed. We're gonna make it. I've almost shaken them.
He hears Ed's whoop even through the tank and truck window dividing them. He ping-pongs nervously between the front and back of the tank as they slow, and then stop. Steed can smell the ocean, brine and sand and fresh air currents sliding through the cracked windows. And it makes him home and heartsick. Ed flings open the doors to the truck. He's beautiful, eyes alight with mania from the chase, loose silver strands from his hair sticking to his face with sweat. Steed would look at him forever, if he could. Ed smiles at him briefly and bounds away, mind whirling, yelling for his friends to come and get Steed out of the tank. One of the humans is smaller than Ed, and one is bigger. And they put Steed in a harness, and it's all rather undignified. But then he's out and in the ocean, and he's free. He swims anxiously back and forth along the dock, looking up at Ed.
Go on, Ed says. You're free. You can go home.
His mind's shut tight, his eyes avoiding Steed's. Steed stares up at him, aches for him. Wants to wrap him in his tentacles and drag him to the depths of the brine. He wants to crawl inside his mind and stay there. Never stretch their bond further than this. Never wonder where he is or what he's thinking. Come with me, he says suddenly, impulsively, because he can't. He can't go back. He can't go alone. Not now that he knows what it's like to be wanted and desired and maybe even loved. Ed shudders and closes his eyes. I can't live in the ocean, Steed. The other two humans are a little ways back, eyeing each other in a way that could potentially also be psychic. Flashing blue and red lights light up the scene. The humans all look toward the source, and Ed tries to snatch away a pulse of panic along their connection but doesn't succeed.
Go, Steed, Ed says.
Come with me.
I can't.
Steed dives backward and flips around and resurfaces. Please.
Just go. You can't let them find you.
The flashing lights are closer now. The brine is toward the sunset, Steed communicates desperately. Past the three islands, in the ring of heated peaks, he flashes Ed some visuals along the route. Ed looks over his shoulder at the other two humans, toes off his shoes, and jumps into the water. Steed immediately encircles him in his tentacles and arms, drawing him close. Ed kisses him and says along their link, I'll try and find you. Go. With one final squeeze and one last kiss, Steed disentangles himself and dives under the water and swims away. Ed turns with a deep breath, fighting the urge to watch Steed swim away. He can feel the bond between them stretching, thinning, tugging him towards the water, towards Steed, but he's a human. He's not a Scylla, not anything aquatic. He can't live under the water, and Steed can't live anywhere but. There's a line of cops getting out of the cars and rushing towards him, only they're not cops. Ed knows cops. Knows how to spot them miles away, and these guys want him to think they're cops. And the only thing worse than being in the custody of the cops is being in the custody of people pretending to be cops. He stares at them for a moment, calculating, and then turns, dives, lets the current take him out to sea following the thin band of Steed's presence in his mind. It's pitch dark at sea, long past sunset, and in his black t-shirt and jeans, Ed knows he's nearly invisible against the frothing water. He strokes out westward, pacing himself. He can hear more sirens behind him, can see flashes of searchlights, and more flashing blue and red behind him reflected in the waves. But he doesn't stop, doesn't turn. Ed's a strong swimmer, and it'll take them time to find a boat. He'll be long gone. Steed's hesitating. He knows he needs to go back, see Mary, see his father. He has to dive, has to try and rebuild his life and forget everything that happened above. Ed's not coming. He can't be. Why would he? For Steed. He takes a deep breath of air, lets himself start to sink below the surface, lets the breath filter out through his skin as he absorbs fresh oxygen through his suckers. The stars flicker and shift above him, through the twisting waves, and he floats on his back just under the waterline for he doesn't know how long, just watching, floating, being free. He didn't want to be in that tank, of course he didn't, but Ed, Steed? It's so faint Steed thinks he's imagining it at first, dreaming of Ed so fiercely he imagines his voice. Then it comes again. Steed. Steed shoots upright, propelling himself out of the water, scanning desperately over the waves and there. There's a faint dark shape bobbing in the waves, its movement slow and exhausted. The bond between them flares, thickens, opens wide as Steed shoots towards him, using all his tentacles to give him the speed he needs. He reaches Ed just as his eyes drift closed and he starts to slip beneath the waves, grabbing him around the waist, holding him close. Ed's cold, but not death cold, not icy in the warm coastal water,
just exertion and exhaustion sapping him of his energy. He needs rest and care, that's all. That's all right. Steed has him now.
Ed's eyes flutter open, and the first thing he sees is the blue, blue sky above, spanning endlessly toward the horizon in every direction. He's floating, warm, cradled in a loose embrace, and he's sore, but in the way of hard work and released stress. He stretches, rolling his head and shoulders, and the arms around him tighten. He tilts his head to the side and sees blonde curls, salty and dried in the sea air, and Steed's face, slack in sleep, brow slightly furrowed.
"Hey," he says. "Steed, what happened?"
Steed blinks awake, meets Ed's eyes, and his face cracks open in a wide, delighted grin, his dimples creasing his cheeks, his eyes sparkling with green and golden highlights picked out by the sun.
"Ed," he says, delighted,
"you found me."
"I wasn't going to let you leave without me, man," says Ed.
"I was always coming. I just expected to, grab a boat first. Change plans."
"I'm glad you're here," says Steed. He sounds almost shy. Ed shifts against him until he's upright, face level with Steed's.
"You didn't believe I was coming?"
he said, incredulous.
"Steed,
you're giving up everything, Ed. What about your business? Your life?"
"Steed, I fucking hate my life. I'm so fucking bored, man."
"Your friends?"
"Izzy fucking sold you, so he can fuck right off. Jim and Alu, they're good people. I know how to find them, and I'll reach out once things have died down. Otherwise, I've got nothing holding me to the land, Steed."
He leans forward, kissing him.
"Can I show you how much I want to be with you?"
Steed nods into the kiss, lips parting in a smile.
"I like that."
It's different, floating in the open ocean. Ed hadn't realized before how much stress had been holding Steed down, forcing him to keep himself contained. Out here, he can see the full extent of Steed rippling beneath the waves. He's fucking beautiful, tentacles stretching out in a dark cloud under the waves. He's holding Ed up with just a few, encircling him gently but firmly. And through their bond, Ed can feel joy. Steed's radiating it, shining like the fucking sun. It flows through Ed, washes over him in warm, sunshine-drenched waves, and he laughs with it, gasping, opening himself to it like a lily on a pond. He feels it filling their connection, expanding it, radiating with golden light. Steed leans in, presses his forehead to Ed's, brushes their noses together, and then it's easy to slide closer, let Steed's limbs pull him close, set them bobbing on the waves. Their lips meet, press, slide together, salty and warm and perfect.
"I've got you," says Steed. "You took care of me for so long. Let me take care of you."
Ed moves against him, hands running along Steed's limbs and running over the places where they split, where they connect to Steed's body. And he's never felt anything like this before. Not even before all this, in the tank together. That was wonderful. That was incredible and life-changing, but it wasn't like this. Ed's fingers are everywhere, and Steed can't quite believe there's only 10 of them, because it feels like he's more limbed than a Scylla. Like he's encircling Steed completely. Steed knows he's sucking too hard along Ed's limbs, leaving round marks behind to speckle Ed's beautiful chest, accents to the artwork inked on his skin.
"I want to..."
He doesn't know the word for it, can't dig in Ed's mind for it, but he remembers how sensitive Ed had been between his legs, how he'd bucked and gasped at Steed's intrusion. He pushes the image through their bond as Ed lets him press even closer.
"Fuck, Steed," says Ed as he pulls away. I can't exactly lie down here, man, how?"
Steed strokes his cock once, twice, dips the tip of a tentacle into the tip of his cock and runs another between his cheeks.
"I told you," he says.
It's my turn. He lifts Zed, pushes him to the surface, his tattoos sparkling with water in the bright sunlight, and Steed tugs him closer, supporting him under his back as he insinuates himself between Ed's thighs. He curls tentacles securely around Ed's limbs, tasting the subtle salt of his sweat through his suckers. Complex, heady, nothing like the salt of the ocean, and noses into the secret space under his cock. Their anatomy is so different down here. Just an extra limb, responsive and delicate, swollen with Ed's arousal above his floating sack. But Steed presses forward, laps at the furl of his hole, and Ed's mind whites out with pleasure. Steed's tongue is impossibly long, thick, flexible, pressing deep inside Ed's body and sucking at his prostate. Ed thrashes against his hold, gasping. He's split, overwhelmed, his entire self focused on the feel of that tongue against him, inside him, breaking him open. His hips jerk in minute flexes, driving his cock upwards into the air, the head bursting from the waves, and he moans with the feeling of cool air and hot sun on the wet, sensitive skin, the currents wrapping around him. Steed's hands push Ed's thighs back, thumbs pressed into the sensitive crease between his thighs and ass, rubbing up and down, as his tentacles hold Ed steady. He's got no leverage, no way to do anything but take it, and he lets himself go, gasping and moaning, tossing his head back and forth in the water, Steed keeping his face above the surface. When he comes, it's a blast of heat running through his nerves, his fingertips curling, his head thrown back, his hips and shoulders flexing against Steed's gentle, immovable hold. The waves lap against him, driving the high higher, spiraling up into the fucking sun, gasping, Steed's tongue unrelenting. Ed pants, chest heaving. He lets Steed lower him down until he's floating perpendicular to the water again, held close like a doll in Steed's dozens of arms. He winds his arms around Steed's shoulders and kisses him deeply, the salt of the ocean overwhelming the taste of his own musk. He needs this, needs to feel Steed against him, needs to hold and be held after that fucking intense experience. He sighs into Steed's mouth, gentling the kiss and moving to nuzzle at his neck. You asked me before. Steed's hesitant, stuttering in Ed's mind. Ed stops kissing his neck and makes a questioning noise, sending waves of curiosity and reassurance to Steed as his fingertips curl around Steed's waist. You asked me where my ink came from, Steed finally says. I'd like to show you. He's pink-cheeked, eyes dilated wide, lips plush from kissing. I want you to touch all of me, like I've tasted all of you. Ed can feel his arousal like a visceral thing, like a rising tide of need in his veins. He groans and shivers, naked in the water, and suddenly, impossibly hard again as the amative bond overwhelms his senses. His jeans are gone, lost to the dark water below. And the water brushes over every part of him, tiny swirling eddies of sun-hot water from above mingling with cool from the depths below. Show me, Steed. I want to see every part of you. Steed's suckers stick to Ed's cool skin as he pulls him closer, parting his tentacles and wrapping them around him. Ed runs his hands down Steed's chest, his round, rosy pink nipples, the smooth ridges of his ribs, the softness at his belly, to the place where his skin starts to darken and take on a blue tinge, where it shades to teal and turquoise and splits into dozens of tentacles. He slides his fingers down and hesitates at the top of the tentacles, pressing gently, rubbing at Steed's skin. Here, says Steed. I want you, Ed. A tentacle comes up, curls around Ed's wrist, draws it closer, pulls it into the warm water between his limbs. Ed lets him direct, doing his best to project curiosity and arousal and, fuck, love for this fascinating, bizarre being.
Steed parts his tentacles and guides Ed's hand between them, below his torso, and Ed feels a slit in the smooth skin, secret and silky. He strokes two tentative fingers along it. Steed shudders from the tips of its tentacles up his body and back down again. The slit opens for him, slick and hot, and Ed dips two fingertips inside. He can feel what feels like smaller tentacles, dozens of them, caressing and sucking around his fingers, and fuck, shit, fuck, this feels wonderful enough. But he sincerely hopes Steed is going to let him get his dick inside him at some point as well. Of course I am, Steed says, his mental voice shaky and heady with desire. If Ed had to compare it with something, it might be an anemone. The tentacles inside of Steed feel slick and squishy, and as he works his fingers deeper inside, sometimes they flatten and he can't feel them at all except for small, smooth bumps along the walls of Steed's secret hole. Steed has his face buried in Ed's neck, tentacles wrapped all around his body and limbs, suckers pulsing in and out of his skin. The amative bond is overwhelming, and Ed presses further in, curls his fingers, gasps when Steed digs his nails into Ed's skin where his arms are still wrapped around his shoulders. Ed strokes again. The tentacles retract into their bumps, and Ed swivels his wrist to swirl the pads of his fingers against them. The inner tentacles pulse outward again, wriggling, tightening around Ed's fingers. He follows the lead of Steed's reactions along their link and in his body, the way his suckers jump off of Ed's skin and back down again, the way he started prodding at Ed's hole again in such a way he doesn't think Steed is even fully aware he's doing it. Ed is going to come. He's going to come just from the feeling of Steed's hole moving around his fingers, clenching, slick, almost sucking him in. Steed's arousal shifts, and he's got tentacles wrapping around Ed's wrist and dick, tugging Ed's hands out of him and guiding Ed's dick urgently toward his hole. Steed tilts in the water so that Ed can get a good angle, wraps his tentacles around Ed's upper thighs and supports him in the deep, sun-warm water. He kicks out, winds his feet in the thicker tentacles on either side of Steed's slit, tries to send Steed the image of what he needs, letting Steed move him like a rag doll was. It was fucking hot. Ed's not going to lie. But he needs leverage. He needs to be able to move against Steed, fuck into him, bury himself in his slit. Steed's shaking, eddies of water frothing around them, his tentacles curling around Ed, insinuating themselves into Ed's crack, curling around his nipples, stroking through his hair. The first touch of Steed's slit against Ed's dick is fucking incredible. Tiny suckers grasping at him, thin tentacles pulling him in as he presses forward. He kisses Steed's shoulder, cants his hips, braces himself and buries his cock to the hilt in Steed. Fuck, he says, not sure if he's speaking aloud or just to Steed, because he's surrounded by him, a tentacle sliding slickly into his ass as he starts moving, fucking into Steed's hot, undulating hole. Steed's gasping, his mouth open against Ed's shoulder, his teeth sliding sharply against Ed's skin, slicing through one paper-thin layer, not enough to make him bleed, but just enough to make him shiver. Their bonds jet stream thick now, thoughts and sensations bouncing back and forth, a feedback loop that has Ed on the edge of coming within moments. He digs in with his fingers, shoving Steed down on his cock, tensing his calves as his toes curl. Steed's pressing against his prostate in counterpoint to his thrusts, shuddering against him, his mind flung as wide as the horizon to Ed. He rolls with the waves lapping at his back, feeling suckers and tentacles stroke his cock while he fucks into Steed, and he's never fucking felt like this before. The orgasm hits him like a tidal wave, rising from the balls of his feet through the trembling of his thighs and the tug in his balls against the tentacles wrapped around them. He groans, gasps, turns his head to suck an inky black tip into his mouth, running his tongue along the suckers and letting Steed feel him. Feel how much he wants this, how fucking good Steed is, and how Ed would stay here in this moment forever if he could. Steed roils, tightening around him, murmuring, "Ed, Ed, oh," inside Ed's brain and deep within his soul. And his pleasure overwhelms Ed, swamping him, setting them swirling like a whirlpool, rushing like the tide. Ed can't do anything but ride the wave, crashing against Steed as the water floods black around him, brushing against his cock, mingling with his cum. He thinks he blacks out, because the next thing he knows, he's twitching against Steed, muscles trembling, chest heaving. Steed's curled around him, his slit still pulsing against Ed's softening cock, the tendrils at its entrance petting against the head, leaving him shivering. The water around them is dark with the evidence of Steed's orgasm, thick and salty and overwhelming. They float, caressed and held in the inky water, on a cushion of Steed's gentle limbs. There'll be time for questions of where they'll go, and what they'll do, and how they'll survive, later. For now, he pulls Steed close and basks in the glow of their shared contentment. The water is warm and the sky is wide, and Dad lets himself drift with Steed. Steed's got a secret cave he swims them to after they're done floating, towing it behind him like the world's limpest water skier. Ed's shivering and pruned from being in the water so long, and Steed frets as Ed stumbles up onto the sand. "It's so dark," Ed says. Steed had forgotten humans can't see well in the dark. He swims to his generator and turns it on. The lights hanging all around the walls flare to life, casting a multicolored twinkling glow over everything, reflecting off the water in a dizzying array. He crunches his tentacles tight against his body, retreating into the water until only his eyes are above the waterline. He's waiting for Ed's reaction to the cave, with all of the human knickknacks he's collected over the years lining the walls and lovingly stacked on the flat top of the broken stalagmite in the center like an altar. He sees Ed take in the ships in bottles, leather-bound books, ancient bottles sealed with wax, and a large bronze statue. Ed stands up and turns around in a slow circle, the lights twinkling in his eyes. Steed unclenches and spins around in a circle of delight when he feels Ed's amazement and appreciation for this space spark along their link. "Holy shit, Steed," Ed says. "This fucking rules." "There are clothes in those chests over there, and blankets." Ed nods and walks to the chest in question, propping it open with the low creak of rusty hinges. He rummages around until he finds a loose-fitting top and bottoms that cling tightly to him in a way that has the tips of Steed's tentacles twitching. Ed pokes through Steed's treasures, running appreciative commentary that makes Steed wriggle with pleasure. Ed opens Steed's shiny chest and pauses.
"Fuck me."
"My shinies. Sometimes I like to do this," Steed says, reaching out with several tentacles and plucking rings from the chest and easing them onto the ends. He wiggles the tentacles in the air. "Look, I'm a human." Ed laughs, but distantly, because his focus is still very much on the chest of shinies. Steed feels him flicking through possibilities of the future like he'd been considering routes during the car chase, and Steed spins around in a slow circle of pleasure, seeing glimpses of Ed's ideas for a life that all includes Steed in them. "I know the jewelry and such is valuable to humans," Steed says, "but truly, that much?"
"Yeah," Ed says, "a lot of these look old."
"I got most of them on shipwrecks."
"This could be millions of dollars."
Another flicker of ideas for the future from Ed. "I like the beach idea too," Steed says. Ed smiles. They have to be careful, fencing the jewelry. Jim helps when Sed finds his way to a town and contacts them. They move south along the coast, keeping contact with other humans at a minimum. Ed buys a small sloop and sails it even further south, until they reach the island where Ed's purchased a small tract of land, and where the nights are cool and the days warm. There's a tiny village on the island a few miles away from their house, which is built around the water. Ed teaches Steed to read, which isn't a mistake per se, but does swallow up large amounts of Steed's time. They spend their days in the ocean, and their nights in a secret tide pool under the stilts of the house. Ed starts a garden, and grows watermelons, and doesn't miss his life on land one bit. Instead, he looks at Steed and thanks every god he knows, land and sea, for the life they've made.